Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to another week of Revirginized, which is the unofficial fan podcast for Max's and Just Like That series. I am super excited, and I guess you guys can kind of hear it in my voice. You can probably hear my smile. I am excited because I made you guys a promise last week that because of my love for fashion, I was going to find some of the outfits from the episode, and I was going to tell you guys the designer, the price, all of that good jazz. And that is exactly what I did for you guys. Like, I went down a rabbit hole on Google looking for all of these outfits. Well, not all, of course, not all, but the ones that made the cut, just because I love you guys so much. And as you guys know, at the end of every episode, towards the end of the episode, before we get to the fan questions, I do talk about the fashion. And so I did get that going for you guys. You're going to be excited. I cannot promise that it is not going to be Louis Vuitton heavy, because you guys know I'm biased. You know I am. So Louis will creep in pretty much almost every episode. But, you know, and some other designers. And what I really love about doing this kind of work for you guys is that I do get to showcase some new designers that you guys probably haven't heard of. I hadn't even heard of a lot of them. And I think that that's really amazing, just like highlighting these designers. Because as a fashion designer myself, it is a lot of work. I mean, trying to hire a seamstress to sew for you as well, or with you, you know, the pattern maker, all of that good jazz, the fabric, trying to find a studio who's not going to rip you off. Like, it is so much work. So it's an honor for me to actually do this work for you guys and, you know, put you guys onto these designers that you may or may not know. So let's get into the episode. This is season 2, episode 4, called Alive. And this episode is kind of, I don't know how I'm really feeling about it. I didn't really so much care for Carrie's like storyline so much, but I do enjoy the fresh faces because we are blessed with Enid Frank. She does make an appearance. And for those of you guys who don't know, Enid was Carrie's editor at Vogue. And if you still don't remember who she is, she was basically, excuse my French as always, the bitch. She was Carrie's bitch boss. And you know what? She was a bad bitch at that. Like, her outfits were slayed, and we do get to see that in this episode as well. And so this episode was a lot for me, especially when it came to Miranda and Che, because I fudging told you that this relationship is a no for me. I think Miranda is conforming. I think Miranda is going out of her way to please Che, and this is exactly what we see. But I am gonna save that conversation because I have a lot to say about that, and I am so excited about that. So I'm definitely gonna dig into that, but let's go to Enid and Carrie. So we start this episode off with Carrie having lunch or brunch. I mean, who can tell the difference these days, to be honest, because we do drink for everything. But she's having lunch or brunch with Jackie. Now, Jackie is so corny that he's cute and he's almost funny, if that makes sense. And Jackie's out here jackieing, and, you know, we see her giving him an autographed copy of her book, which I do love. I love that, you know, Carrie and true Carrie Bradshaw fashion is friends with people from all walks of life. Like, you have your rich friends and your stoic friends, and then you have your regular, degular, schmegular friends, and that's, you know, that's Jackie. And so I love that they're still interacting, especially after that disaster of a dress that his wife made. Like, I still have bones to pick with her, but I digress. And so while they're having lunch and Jackie's blowing up the bathroom, we see Enid, okay, who's played by Candace Bergen, FYI, we have the same name. And she's trying to avoid Carrie. So Enid is amazing for me because she's so honest that she's such a vibe. And basically, Carrie spots her. They have a conversation. She basically tells Carrie she's been avoiding her because, you know, she never reached out after Big died. A little backstory in that, Carrie did reach out to Enid to see if Enid can write a blurb for her because Enid is just this powerful, high-status editor. And we come to realize that Enid is no longer working for Vogue. She also didn't want to write Carrie a blurb because, as she puts it, if I write one for you, I have to write one for everyone. But here is why I love Enid. As she's telling Carrie why she wouldn't do her a favor, she is asking Carrie for a favor. So, all right, we're gonna get into that. So they do a little back and forth. Enid is actually doing an online magazine now called Vivant, which is French for alive. And as she puts it, it's a magazine for women, quote unquote, our age. Very Samantha of her. I had no idea that her and Carrie are both 112, but yes, age is just how you feel. So I'm gonna give it to you, Enid. And so in this episode, like, Carrie goes through a lot of like, okay, do I ask Enid to still write something for me? Do I not? Am I gonna go to this event that she's hosting for her magazine called Vivant? Which we come to find out, is you know, she really needs a lot of money and funding for this event. So you know, Carrie goes back and forth, and then we see Seema, and I love Seema because Seema is such a bad biatch. Like, I say this on every episode, but Seema is very like, listen, Carrie, you go for it. You put yourself out there. You ask for what you want. You ask to be written in because it's a moneymaker for you, right? And as Seema's saying this, by the way, she's wearing a lovely cream beige tan ensemble with these Fendi earrings, like these big ass F earrings, and I'm here for it. But anyway, so that's what Carrie's pretty much doing the entire episode. And then, you know, as we actually, let me take a quick break from Carrie, right, and go to LTW. LTW has such a nice storyline. I really enjoyed her story because it's just, it's nice to see the other supporting characters have much more of a voice. And in this episode, we do see that LTW is celebrating an anniversary. She gets a lot of screen time, and I fudging love it. And so to go into her a little bit, you know, her and Herbert and Charlotte and Harry, they're sending their kids off to summer camp, and they are excited. And as they're sending them off to summer camp, LTW, by the way, is wearing this fantastic Louis Vuitton bomber jacket that I'll speak more to you about at the end. But you know, I mean, she's just looking fabulous. We do get to see her and Herbert celebrate their anniversary in an outfit that I didn't really care for, but I think it's because it was too much. But we also get to see her and Herbert's first fight. So, you know, this is the it couple, right? Like, this is the couple who you would think to yourself never really fight and never really bicker. And we did see a little bit of it in season one, but not too much. But this time, Herbert forgets to send the invites to the anniversary dinner. So it's a little bit of back and forth between them, but you know what? I love it because it lets you know that just like us, they are very real and they're not all just love and kisses and high fashion events and, you know, I'm running for this and I'm doing this document series and I eat caviar for breakfast, all of those good things. Like, you know, it just lets you know that they're real. So I was loving that storyline. Didn't really care for her outfit, although I did like the jumpsuit apart from like the cape. The wig though, that is something that we do need to talk about. You guys need to have my girl out here looking, you know, not crazy. Like, sometimes you guys give her these wigs, and you know what? Nicole Ari Parker, who's the actress who plays LTW, she does work it, but I need you to give her a better wig. I'm so sorry. Like, please do it up for her. And you know, honestly, Mama Wexley is annoying, by the way. Like, in this episode, Lisa Todd brought her father to the anniversary party, and I was like, yes, yes, because I knew that her parent was gonna go off on his parent, and that's exactly what happened. Like, I loved how he stood up for her. He did kind of bring Herbert down a little bit in his efforts, but I do love how he stood up for her, because let me tell you something, Mama Wexley, yo, can we just vote her off? Like, one minute she's like, oh, didn't our people fight so you wouldn't wear, you know, a bonnet over your head? And then the next minute, she's back living in the 50s and 60s, basically telling her, like, you shouldn't be a career woman. You should be baking cakes for your husband and your anniversary so you never forget. I'm sorry, what? What in the 2023 are we in? And what is this? I mean, when she speaks, I'm clutching my pearls. Why? Why are you so hateful? Your son couldn't have married a better human being, and you're just so hateful that even Harry couldn't stand sitting next to you all the way at the end of the table, I should add, because as she says, this is the only place where the air is not hitting me. No, call the spade a spade. Call it a spade. You just don't want to sit next to your daughter's father, or your daughter-in-law's father, or your daughter. You just want to be a hater, and that's fine, but please don't be hating so much where Harry is feeling that, because my man Harry looked so vexed. He was so tired. He definitely took one for the team, but that is our LTW stance. I do love that she's getting more of a storyline. We didn't see much of Nia Wallace in this episode, and I'm okay with that. But to go back to Carrie ends up at this, you know, event for Enid, and she's getting ready to, like, okay, I'm gonna ask Enid for what I want, blase blase, and she finds out that the only reason she's even invited is because she has deep pockets. Okay, and speaking of deep pockets, you know who else makes an appearance in this episode? Vitzy Von Muffling, who really irked my nerve this episode, because Carrie at some point gets a text with a penis picture from Little Birdie, and we find out at Enid's event that Vitzy is the one who sent her this penis pic. But here's what bothers me. Vitzy, I feel like, was the annoying friend again. She's always had this reputation, and even when Enid sees her, she's like annoyed by her and says she's only here for deep pockets. But how dare you? Like, how are you sending Carrie a penis pic when last episode you were being so mellow and you were being like the yes friend, like, yes, you're not so annoying, and you're giving this wonderful bomb advice, and you're like doing it up, like, you're yes, and now all of a sudden you're overstepping by sending her, like, did you even ask if she wanted a penis pic? And I'm sorry, this isn't Carrie from 20s Carrie's or even early 30s Carrie's, but even that Carrie, who was much more adventurous and whatnot, do you really think she would have wanted a penis picture? She's always been like a little wild, but also very reserved in her own right. Why would you think that that was acceptable? I mean, I don't know. It just was a whole no for me. And lo and behold, Enid is a hustler. She really came for Carrie's coin. I told you guys I would talk about this. Like, one minute she's like, I can't do this for you, but hey, what can you do for me? So Enid, you either love her or you fudging hate her. She is such a hustler. And Carrie, in a touche moment, is like, well, Enid, if I give you this money, I'd have to give it to everyone else. And I'm like, yes, Carrie, yes. Now you make her give you that favor that you wanted. But of course, thanks to Vitzy Von Muffling, Enid stumbles on a penis picture that just so happens to be her own boyfriend's. And how did she do that, you might ask? Because her and Carrie and the wonderful Gloria Steinem, who is 89 years old, by the way, guys, took a selfie, a photo together. And as Enid was checking to make sure she looked like a glamorous dinosaur, she saw her own boyfriend's penis pic. And what can Carrie say about that? Except, I don't have my checkbook, but do you take PayPal? And here's your $100,000. I mean, what? 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 was this? Like, this episode for me was kind of like, oh. The only thing I will say is that they were also chic at Enid's event. They were glamorous. I mean, I can only hope to look that great at that fossilized age, and I'm loving it. But as far as that, like, damn, Carrie, I guess you're not gonna get that blurb, but you know what? It is what it is, because now you have to give her that money because Bitsy wanted to be aggy and annoying. So that was Carrie. Now, moving on, and this is going to be some tea. Well, not tea, actually, because because I heard from Reddit that Miranda and Shay may be breaking up. Now, here is why I think this can be true. Miranda and Shay this episode are embarking on a threesome. So, first of all, let's just start off with Miranda's on the couch. Let's start off there before I get into there. Miranda's on the couch. She's back in New York. You know, Steve is trying to deal with the fact that the love of his life, who left him for someone else, is in the house, and he's like boxing at 3 o'clock in the morning to the wee hours in the morning. And then Miranda is sleeping on the couch. Cynthia Nixon, by the way, is extremely fit. Like, her body is a whole vibe. And so they're going to therapy as a family to try to figure out their life. And while they're going through therapy, she's like going from her house to Columbia, because I guess she's still doing her schooling, and then to Shay's house, because Shay is now in New York. Okay, so they have a housewarming for Shay. Carrie goes, and lo and behold, who is there? Lyle. My good sir, why are you here? So for me, that is red flag number one. Now, let me start by saying, I definitely think that you can be friends with your exes. I totally do. Nothing against that. But I don't know if you guys remember me telling you, I think 2 episodes ago, that I think Lyle has something for Shay and maybe some unfinished business. Okay, that's exactly what we see here. So Lyle is there, and you know, he is left to talk to Carrie while Miranda and Shay are like, I don't know, about to go have sex in the room. Who knows? They were just getting it on. Carrie, which I'm also going to circle back to, wants to get to know more about Lyle because she notices that he wears like a ring on each finger. Hint, hint, Aiden. I'll come back to that. And so they start to talking, and you know, they get to know each other. And the entire episode after they break the couch is basically all four of them in the bedroom, drinking, getting to know each other, blase, blase, blase. At some point, Carrie leaves, of course, because the conversation gets too intense. It's strap-ons. We find out that when Lyle and Shay were together, they were polyamorous. I hope I'm saying that right. And they basically had a girlfriend. So it's a lot happening. Carrie makes her exit, and then here's where it gets spicy. So at some point, Lyle, who did not end up sleeping on the couch like they said, is with them in the bed. And I wonder if I can refer, Shay is they, Miranda's she, her. I wonder if I can just, when I speak about them, just call them them. Like, I wonder if that's a term. You guys will let me know. So they are on the bed, and Shay gets horny, and she's like touching on Miranda, she's kissing and whatnot, and they're basically having a college moment, right? Like, we're gonna have sex while the next person is sleeping, or maybe not sleeping. But here goes Lyle rubbing on Shay. I'm talking about like a real rub that lets me know, oh yeah, Shay is definitely for everyone. Like, she is, you know, she is who she is, and we love it. And she goes to Miranda, are you okay with this? And Miranda's like, so I don't know, but I guess I've never tried it, so let's try it. And now they are menage a trois. So here's my issue with this. Miranda, you would have never done this before. And I'm not saying that you can't explore your sexuality. Obviously, Miranda is, right? Like, that's what we're seeing. But I really, really only think she did it for Che. Like, And also, Che, you know that this is not Miranda, right? So it goes back to like Miranda doing a lot for Che. Che, you know she's not like this. You know she only wants you. You know that you're throwing her out of her comfort zone, but you don't even care at this moment. And so they start to engage in some sexual play. She gets a Charlie horse. They cannot continue. And so she removes herself to go to the couch. I'm sorry, what? I am the sole girlfriend in this relationship. No, Lau, you need to go to the couch. But basically, she's telling them, you guys can continue. Wait, how, Sway? How? How is this even a thing? Miranda, where are you? Okay, where are you? Like, I get it. You want to explore your sexuality. I get it. You want to move to California. I get it. You want to just like, I don't know, sit in these new age saunas or baths or whatever and go to AA and clean the beach. Okay, whatever. But this is over the top, Miranda. Because if this was anybody else, you would have said in true Miranda fashion, oh, you're conforming, and why are you giving up yourself and who you are, and why are you doing things you don't like to do? And look at you, mama, doing things that you would never do. Resorting to the couch. Resorting to even saying, you guys continue while I pretend I'm okay. So, yeah, and she even told Shay, I really meant it. You didn't have to stop. Guys, I mean, we can argue about this till I'm blue in the face. You guys are gonna have to let me know what you think. I know I took a lot of time talking about this, but this was like the most exciting part of the episode for me, because I called it, guys, and I did hear a rumor on Reddit that they are going to break up. Yes, break up. Please break up. Please break up. But here's my only thing. I will say, in Che's defense, she made it very clear who she was from the very beginning. Now, it is a little sad for me that I feel like Miranda's the one compromising more, you know, but I guess that's what happens in relationships like this, when the person tells you that they're not, you know, like, they're not traditional. You know, Shay was very honest that she's not traditional. And Lyle, don't think I don't see you, my good man. I know what you're doing. And a part of me wonders, prediction, if they're going to end up together in the future. And even this whole threesome thing, like, it makes me wonder, like, what defines cheating to them? They didn't say they were polyamorous, right? So is this like a cheating moment? Like what is this? Like, what, or what are your boundaries, I should say? So Jay, I hope you're listening. I mean, Jay's obviously gonna listen to this because he's also my producer. He's gonna cut and chop all this up for you guys. But Jay, what do you think? Like, I need you to tell me what you think. This is insane. Anyways, moving forward. So here was another funny part of the episode, Charlotte, like, what is happening? Is Harry shooting blanks? Harry can't even like ejaculate or come anymore. That's what we're doing. Lo and behold, he's exhausted his cum. I'm kidding. He didn't. I guess it's just something that comes and goes. And so, like, I don't know. Like, so now they're trying to get him to literally come again, and not Charlotte saying, come on my chest, you know, it's a special treat since the kids are away. Like, what? Like, oh my god, that is true Charlotte in true Charlotte form. You are back to being you. And then I don't know, and everything was so funny, and it made me miss Samantha, guys. I do want to pay a little homage to Samantha Jones, Kim Cattrall, because Charlotte was doing her Kegels, and I don't know if you guys remember from season 3, that was her way to staying tight, which she told the girls. And like, she was even doing it when they were at the restaurant having their drinks in that season 3 episode. And now, lo and behold, here's Charlotte like doing her Kegels. And you want to know, guys, I love that the writers are paying attention, because who remembers the guy who fell asleep on Charlotte in season 2, episode 16? Please tell me you guys remember that he fell asleep on her, and then she forced the girls to take that sexual class where the lady was like teaching how to please her husband on the floor of her apartment. And here is Charlotte like, Harry, we're gonna get your comeback. And she's doing all of her little exercises, and needless to say, I guess Harry is not shooting blanks anymore, I guess, because he came. And, you know, I'm totally don't think I'm using that phrase in the right context, FYI. But there you have it. Like, I think that was so cute. Like, that reminded me of the old school Sex and the City episode. So I thought that was cute. I was living for that. And so, you know, all in all, I thought the episode was cool. It wasn't my favorite, right? I mean, I definitely did enjoy the threesome storyline. I definitely enjoyed Enid being very selfish and being a hustler and all of that. It wasn't my favorite, but it was cute. You know, LTW, you're so cute. Yes, you get on Herbert for forgetting to send those invitations. You know, and you know what? I really gotta say, and I don't know if you guys can hear me snap some claps. I loved how she raised her voice at Mama Wexley, by the way, when she was like, yes, I did forget to order the cake. Like, you do that, girl. Like, yes, I was living for that. That whole anniversary scene was cute. Oh my goodness. And how can I not forget? You see, guys, this is why I need to slow down. And Jay tells me that. He was like, girl, you need to pause when you do these things and breathe. You are so right, producer, because how can I forget that Charlotte met a gallery owner and director? And that was such a great scene. She met him at LTW's anniversary dinner. And, you know, they were talking and he was like, are you that girl who discovered that artist from way back in the day? And Charlotte, being so modest, she's like, yes. And he's trying to get her to work for him. And I loved that. Like, you know, here's what I'm gonna say. I guess my favorite parts of the episode was the storylines where Carrie wasn't in it, to be honest. As much as I love Enid, as much as I thought it was cute, like, mm-mm. Like, I love seeing, like, the realism of this episode with, like, Charlotte in true New York fashion meeting someone who would link her to her past and possibly her future. That was really, really cool. So there you have it. It all in all was a good episode. And now getting to the fashion part of it, let me correct some errors that I made on the fly last week. So I was right, that was the on-the-go Louis Vuitton GM, but it was actually not the reverse monogram like I thought. And this is why wearing your glasses are super important. Well, in my case, my bifocals. It was the caramel cream on the go bag, which is no longer on the site, guys. So I do apologize. And also, do you guys remember when I was talking to you about Carrie's hot pink dress that she wore underneath that nice blue cape? It was actually a jumper. So I loved it. But let's get into some of the fashion for this episode. So we do have the green monogram bomber, like I told you, LV jacket that LTW wore. Oh my God, that jacket, giving me life. That jacket is on the website, retailing at $2,800, you guys. And if anyone loves me at a host, feel free to subscribe to our podcast, number one, you know, definitely. But also feel free to support and fund my Louis Vuitton addiction, okay, and obsession. Buy me clothes. I'm all for it. Start a fund. Start a Candace re-virginized fund, because she's so great and we love hearing her raspy ass voice every single week. I'm here for it if you're here for it. And so we have that. And then I also want to point out Charlotte's outfit for LTW's anniversary. Now, this is an Amelia Wicksteed pink cape effect midi dress. I do not have the price for that one, but that is, once again, the Amelia Wicksteed pink Cape Effect midi dress. I love that dress, by the way. Leave it to Charlotte to always know how to bring it. She knows when to wear the sexy outfits, but she knows when to be extremely reserved. And I do want to add that when she's being reserved and when she's being a mother, she's being an expensive mother, because that dress, I believe at a quick glance, it was at least $1,000+, but I did end up losing the actual price. Oh, I lied. This is why my bifocals are important. That dress is $1,112.50. Ew. Who is awesome? Me, your co-host. All right. And then I did mention Seema's Fendi earring. At least I think it was Fendi. But you guys know that Sex and the City has had a long relationship with Fendi. And just like that is always wearing Fendi. So I know that is a Fendi earring without me having to look it up. But I also love, once again, that cream beige tan outfit that Seema wore. And I'm sorry, guys, I could not find that outfit at all. But while we're talking about that outfit, Carrie, what in the hell was that stingray hat? Sweetheart, you could have missed me, mama, with that hat. It was not it. You were cute. You were cute. But just don't wear it again, and then we'll be straight. And so I do have another outfit. So LTW's outfit, I realized when I was doing the research that I liked the jumper, well, the dress, as just the outfit by itself. The cape portion of it was just a little too much for me, right? Like, I'm the type of person, I don't like to do too much like of the matching, like it just makes me a little crazy for me. But this is a piece by Rihanna plus Nina White, and it is the metallic floor jacquard maxi dress. My accent sometimes gets in the way, so I apologize if I said that wrong. But once again, it is the Rihanna plus Nina White metallic floor jacquard maxi dress. This dress retails for $6,762, mi gente. So, if you have that money, it actually is a very beautiful dress. And I do, you know, I would wear it with a different cape, right? But I do think that that is a nice dress. If you guys have the funds, why not? And that's Rihanna plus Nina. And then it actually also goes by the semi-plunging Mesogios. So you know sometimes that tends to happen where there's more than one name, but there you guys have it. You can Google it. It is actually really stunning in person without the cape piece. And before we move on, I do have some questions for this week. And of course, in true fashion, these are coming from Heather Solaris, Heather_Moon on Twitter. And she wanted to know, are threesomes a thing? Actually, you know what? She asked this one twice. Are threesomes a thing? You know what? I don't know. They were a thing in 1998 for season one of Sex and the City, right? When Carrie realized that Big had that threesome and she was discovering that threesomes were everywhere. They were the blowjobs of the 90s. And so I guess 26 years later, they're a thing. I don't know. It's a no for me. And I want to say it's a no for Miranda, right? But we'll figure that out. And then she goes, oh, where the hell is Aiden? That's the follow-up question. Where is Aiden? Now, do you guys remember when I said, I'm going to come back to that, hint, hint, Aiden. Is it me or did you guys peep that Lyle had his long hair? And Carrie goes, I'm more interested in talking to you because I noticed you have a ring on each finger. What's that about? Was that not Aiden? Are you guys setting us up to talk about Aiden? Or are you setting us up to premiere Aiden? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. That's what I'm going to believe. At Heather_Moon, I think Aiden is coming. He's floating in space, but he's so close, Heather, that I can feel him. And then her last question was, what's up with Shay being so close to her ex-husband? In real life, can you be friends with an ex? So like I said, I definitely think you can be friends with an ex, but there has to be boundaries in place. You know, my boyfriend, his ex is, you know, a very close friend to the family. And for years, I always told him, like, you know, be nicer. Like, if you see her, you know, just say hi, be cordial. You don't got to go to dinner or whatnot. And Lord knows, I'm sure she strides across that line. But that's a story for another time. But, you know, yeah, I think you can be friends with an ex, right? As long as there's boundaries in place. This ain't that. This ain't that. Because I'm sure all of us have, like, an ex-friend story. This is not that, Shay. You are playing with hot water. And guys, remember that I said it here. Lyle is going to be back. They are going to sleep with each other. Something is definitely going to happen. Yeah, Heather, I don't know what's up with her being so close. It seems more than just a friendship to me that he's in New York helping her. I don't know. It's just the chemistry. It's the vibe that I'm getting. So those were the only questions, guys. Thank you so much for listening to all my craziness. You know, thank you so much for listening to these recaps. I love you guys. Follow me and Jay at revirginized.pod on Instagram. As always, write us, tweet us, love on us, thread us. And until next time. Thank you.